All right. Isn't God good? Yes. Amen. All right, take your Bibles. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 again. Matthew chapter 6. I've got good news. I am going to do more than three words tonight. We looked at one message, Our Father which art in heaven, and we dealt with the relationship we have in prayer. Then we looked at Hallowed Be Thy Name, and how we're to pray with a heart, understanding that He is holy, and we are to approach Him as holy. And then last week we dealt with Thy Kingdom Come. And tonight we're going to look at the bottom of verse 10, and we're going to deal with this part of this prayer. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And so let's pray. Father, I just come to You today, and Father, I thank You for Your Word and for Your truth. Father, I thank You for, Father, the model You've given us in prayer through this passage. And Father, how it targets every avenue of our prayer life. Father, it targets our affection, it targets our willingness, it targets our motivation, it targets what we pray and how we pray it. And Father, it targets the purpose of prayer. And Father, the outcome of prayer. Father, everything that is involved in prayer is found in principle in this model prayer. And so, Father, I pray tonight as we look at this part of this prayer and this part of this truth, that, Father, You'd speak to us afresh and anew, and, Lord, You'd help us as Your disciples prayed. Lord, teach us to pray. And so, Father, I pray You would help us to learn more and better efficiency in our prayer life. And, Lord, we'll give You the praise in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we're going to break those words down tonight, and we're going to look into what does it mean to pray, Thy will be done. And then we're going to look at what it means when it says on earth as it is in heaven. A lot of people will see that phrase and it'll confuse them. And they'll say, how in the world can we have on earth in light of His will, the same that's going on in heaven? I've said this many times to you folks, and I'll say it again. We don't have to wait to heaven to enjoy the will of God or the person of God. We can enjoy Him here and now. As a matter of fact, I would say this, that we probably have not even touched the hem of His garment in understanding what it really means about how much we can enjoy Him and fellowship and experience Him here and now. And so this is the reality of this part of this prayer. This part of this prayer, I would say to you, sets up the rest of this prayer. Because as He deals with this aspect of Thy will be done, then He's going to begin in verses 11 on to deal with the individual aspects of the will of God concerning our needs. It's going to be our needs and our provision, our needs and our forgiveness, our needs not only in our forgiveness, but the forgiveness of others, our needs in our victory, and every other aspect of our life is following this. All part of God's will. But first, what does it mean to pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Well, I want us to look at some things tonight. If you have an outline with you, if you don't, there's some over here if you want to grab one real quick. If you have an outline with you, I want you to look first at what I call the reality of God's will. You say, what do you mean the reality of God's will? Well, a lot of people are confused about God's will. Number one. Number two, a lot of people don't understand how powerful and how mighty and how supreme His will is to be in our hearts and our lives. A lot of people will look at God's will as many times as something I can take or leave. I got news for you. God's will is not something we can take or leave. Listen, it's His way or it's no way. And you and I need to understand the reality of God's will. What does this word will mean? The word in its Greek reference is simply a word that has to do with God's righteous demands and God's righteous purpose. In other words, it involves what God wants to do and how He wants to do it. But it also involves if you will, the way in which He does it, in that everything God does is righteous. And everything God asks is righteous. Can I tell you? His law in the Old Testament, what did it do? It showed us the righteousness and holiness of God. And as we saw the law in the righteousness and holiness of God, Paul would come along and say, I wouldn't have known what sin was if it wasn't for the law. And then Paul later on would say, the law is the schoolmaster that brought me to the cross. Why? Because when you see the holiness of God, you'll see the glory of God. And when you see the glory of God, you'll see yourself. And so everything God says, everything God commands, everything God does, and everything God wants to do is always, always holy and righteous. Why? Because God is holy, therefore He cannot do anything that is not holy. And so when we look at the reality of God's will, we need to understand that everything that is the will of God will always be consistent with the righteousness and holiness of God. Now, also, when you see this phrase, thy will be done on earth, simply automatically assumes that, guess what, there's going to be opposition to His will. And there's times in which God's will not be accomplished. Now, don't throw anything at me yet, okay? I'll deal with that in a little bit. But there is the perfect will of God, and we'll deal with that. But there's also things in which God desires, but yet God in His sovereignty will allow man to either receive or reject. And so you have to understand that when we're looking at the will of God. So it assumes opposition. Therefore, we should pray, thy will be done. In other words, when you're praying that, what are you praying? God, have your righteous way in my life, have your righteous way in their lives, and have your righteous way on this earth, your creation. And that's what you're praying. Now, I want you to look at a few things of this reality of God's will. The first thing is what I call the preeminence. The preeminence of His will. If you and I do not see that God's will is preeminent to our will, you'll never be able to walk in the reality of this prayer, thy will be done. Because you're not going to desire and have a passion for His will if you don't see that it's preeminent over our will. And this is one of the things, this is where you have to begin, is right here. Understanding the preeminence of God's will over our will and over the will of this world. Now, to show you this and prove this to you, that His will is preeminent. Listen to what James says in James 4, verse 15. He said, for you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. What does that mean? That means that the very physical life in which you have is totally and completely in the control of His will. In other words, if you're breathing today, it was God's will that you breathe today. If I breathe my last breath while I'm preaching this message, listen, it was God's will that I breathed my last breath. I had a man one time who's laying on his deathbed and had a stroke. And every time I'd go see him, his name was Roy, and every time I'd go see Roy, he'd tell me, he'd say, preacher, before you leave, pray God will take me home. He said, I don't want to stay like this anymore. And I said, Roy, I said, you got to understand something. God will is for you to be alive today. He said, well, why in the world would God leave me alive? I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, how many people come over and see you on a weekly basis? He said, oh, preacher, I have people in here and out here all day, every day. Why? I said, well, isn't it amazing? I said, God's bringing people to you and I'm having to go out and find them. I said, could it be? God's will is to keep you alive, even in the state you're in, that you can share a witness and peace to know that you're ready to go to glory. No matter what happens, you're ready. And maybe some of them folks are not. You see, God's got a will. And we have to understand that His will is supreme to ours. And therefore, His will is in control of your and I very life. Now, Acts 18, verse 21, we see this same truth in direction. Paul was leaving the church at Ephesus, And as Paul was leaving the church of Ephesus, he gave his farewell address, if you will. And here's what he told them. He said, "But bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God what? Will." In other words, Paul says, my desire, my intention, my want is to return unto you, church of Ephesus. He said, but see, the thing is, it's not my will that matters, it's God's will that matters. And so if God wills, I will be back. But if God doesn't, I won't. In other words, we have to understand the will of God is to be preeminent in our life. I want you to look at another passage with me, found in the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. If you'll turn to the book of Colossians just a minute. The book of Colossians. And I want you to see this passage with me just a minute. Colossians chapter 3 in verse number 1. Colossians 3 in verse 1. If His will is preeminent in my life, how many of you agree my focus is going to be on Him and not me? Now watch Colossians 3 verse 1. If then we be risen with Christ, are you saved today? Say amen. Amen. If you're saved and being risen with Christ, amen. He quickened you, made you alive, His resurrected life. Seek those things which are where? Above. Where's above? In the heavenlies. Why in the heavenlies? Where are you seated? Bible says you're seated in heavenly places at the right hand of God. Well, let me ask you a question. If that's where you are spiritually, where should you be seeking? So how does God make on earth what is true in heaven? Well, the Bible says you're seated in Christ in heaven, but at the same time, Christ who is in heaven is also in you. So therefore, what can be true in heaven is can be true in you here. And he says, think on those things which are above, where Christ seateth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. How many of you agree that your will and my will, separate from God, is earthly? But yet, when our will comes in conjunction with His will, it's always going to be heavenly. And therefore, His will is to be supreme. Look at verse 3. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. In other words, how can I set my affections on things above and not on the things of this earth if I live in this earth? Because spiritually, guess what? Even though God took you from death to life in salvation, to take you from death to life, He take and exchange your life for His. Therefore, what He did was He put you to death on the cross 2,000 years ago. He took His resurrected life, placed it within you. And now guess what? You can be dead to who you are, but alive to who He is. And therefore, you can live here as you, but yet it's really not you. It's the Christ in you. Now what Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm dead, but not I, but Christ liveth in me. This is the reality of how you and I can have our affections set on things above. When Christ, who is, I didn't hear you, when Christ, who is our what? Life. What does that mean? Well, is He your spiritual life? Amen. Well, if He's your spiritual life, is it going to control your physical life? Absolutely. So guess what? Every essence of who you are as a child of God ought to be in union with who Christ is as the Son of God. And it says, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. And so we see the supremacy of His will, the preeminence of His will. I want you to see, secondly, the power of His will. Now look at verse 10 real quick in Matthew 6. And I want you to see this. The prayer is, Thy will be done in earth. Now I want you to focus on those two words, be done. The words in their original language are imperative. Now, what in the world does imperative mean? It means they're a command. So, the command is to pray thy will is done, yes, but more than that. The command is that God's will be done. In other words, in our prayer life and in our living in obedience, we are to not in any way, shape, or form grieve or quench the Holy Spirit or give God trouble in accomplishing His will in our lives and in those around us. And that's the idea of this verse. It's imperative. But now here's the amazing thing. And here's where the power of His will comes in. It's also passive. And you say, what do you mean by passive? The word passive means that someone is operating outside to bring a course the effect or the results. So therefore, I'm to pray, God, Thy will be done, personally, corporately, culturally, Thy will be done. But at the same time, when I'm praying that, am I praying, Lord, Thy will be done, now tell me, and I'll go work for You. Is that what He's saying? No. Listen, His will can only be done by who? Himself. So I'm praying, Thy will be done, and then at the same time, in asking and praying that, in a given situation, you may know the will of God. God may give you discernment concerning the will of God. And you can pray specifically, Lord, You've given me a revelation about this, and so right now, Father, I want to thank You today that Thy will be done. And at the same time, I want to acknowledge today that if it's done, it's done by You and not by me or anybody else. And so you're resting in Him to accomplish it. And so this becomes the essence of this prayer. Thy will be done. The power of His will. In other words, He's able to accomplish whatever His will is. And you can trust Him in that. You say, well, preacher, are you sure about this? Absolutely, I'm sure. How do you know? Well, I'll give you one of 30-some verses I could give you, but I'll give you one of them for time's sake. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Watch what it says. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good what? So who's the one working in you to accomplish His will? Who's the one working in you to accomplish His pleasure in your life? Who's the one working in you to bring glory to Himself? Who's the one working in you to accomplish what He wants to accomplish? Who's the one working in you to minister through you in a way only He can minister? Who's the one working through you to show the lost the person of the Lord Jesus? Are you getting this? In other words, it's God that works in you. You see, His will is preeminent. But His will is powerful. Because the one that created heavens and earth, Elohim, that spoke creation into existence, is the same one that took His residence inside of you to accomplish His will in your life and in mine. Isn't God good? Don't that take the strut out of it? Don't that take the struggle out of it? How many times has God laid something on your heart? And all of a sudden, your first reaction is, I can't do that. Y'all ever had that happen? I remember one time after God saved me, my pastor told me I needed to go witness to my neighbor. I said, I can't do that. He said, why not? I said, I'm scared of that dude. I was. I mean, he was a drug addict. He was roughest character I've ever been around in my life. I said, I don't even want to go knock on his door, much less witness to him. And I'll never forget, my pastor, he handed me a video of the gospel. He said, I want you to go and take it to him. I said, okay, but in my heart I'm going, Now I'm a new convert. Y'all with me? Say amen. Yes. So I get in my car, I start driving back to my house. And I got to thinking, you know, I need to go to Boone. I forgot to pick something up, so I start driving to Boone. I lived in Mountain City, Tennessee at the time, about 30 miles away. Now, my house and my neighbor's house was only two blocks from the church. So I made a U-turn and started going towards Boone. I got about 10 miles down the road. Can I tell you what happened? God took a hickory switch after me. And finally, I submitted. I turned around and I went and knocked on that door. And you know what I realized? God wasn't asking me to do it in my energy. He was just asking me to yield and watch Him do it. Can I tell you what happened? He wasn't home. But his wife was, and his kids were. And I didn't go in the house for obvious reasons. But I stood at the door and I said, listen, I said, y'all know me, I'm your neighbor. Of course, we'd seen each other in the yard. And I said, I just want to give you something and want you to watch this video. And we want to invite you to the church. Church not two blocks from the house. So we want to invite you to church. You're not going to believe this. Sunday morning, her and the kids showed up to church. And you know what I learned? That fear is not faith. Because fear focuses on what you can or cannot do, or what you won't or will not do. Faith focuses on what God can do and what God wants to do. The power of His will. Well, third thing, the purpose of His will. What's the purpose of His will? It's always to bring glory to His name. It's always to bring glory to His name. How do you know something's the will of God? You can ask this question and answer it. Is this going to bring glory to you? It's that simple. It's not complicated. It's that simple. All right, let's look at the second thing, the revelation of God's will. How does God reveal His will, and what is the revelation of God's will? Well, I want you to look at three things real quick. First thing is His perfect will. What do you mean by His perfect will? Well, this is God's will in the areas of things in which He is determined to accomplish, and there's nothing or no one, Satan, you, or anybody else, is going to cause to not happen. Let me give you an example. How many of you agree that it was God's perfect will that Christ died on the cross? How many of you agree that the enemy tried everything he could to kill the seed of the woman before Christ ever went to the cross? How many agree he failed? How many of you agree it was the purpose of God, the perfect will of God, that Christ be the pathway of our salvation? Ephesians chapter 1 says He was predestined. What predestined? That Christ would be the pathway of our salvation. In other words, salvation would have to go through the person of the Lord Jesus. It was His perfect will that that be accomplished. How many of you agree today that it was the perfect will of God that at one day that He would come and take His residence inside the believer? Can I tell you, nothing and no one was going to stop that. There's the perfect will of God. And in the perfect will of God, when you and I are praying, Thy will be done, when it comes to the perfect will of God, we can just rest and pray in this way. Lord, I want to thank You today. Whatever is Your perfect will, I want to praise You that You're going to accomplish it in Your way for Your glory and for Your namesake. It's the perfect will of God. John chapter 6, verse 40, we see the perfect will of God. And this is the will of Him that sent Me. What was it? That everyone who seeth the Son, believeth on Him, of course we understand what that word believes by now, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. Would you agree that that says Christ is the pathway of our salvation? How many agree? Nothing was going to change that. So we see the perfect will of God. All right, let's look at the second thing, the permissive will of God. The permissive will of God. What do you mean by that? Well, at the same time that God is absolutely and totally sovereign in all things, He is so sovereign. Now, I want you to listen to this. He is so sovereign that He can maintain His authority and His control and still allow man to reject His will. There's those that say that God's sovereign, therefore man has no choice. I got news for you. That's not sovereignty. It takes more sovereignty to allow man to choose and still maintain control than it does to just automatically force something on man, whether he wants it or not. And God is sovereignly in control, but yet at the same time, He allows man at times to reject His will. You say, can you prove this in Scripture? Absolutely I can. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that what? Isaiah 65, verse 12. Therefore will I number you with the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter. Why? Because when I called, you did not what? When I spoke, you did not what? But did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. The permissive will of God. So why do I need to pray, Thy will be done, if in some aspects the perfect will of God, He's going to accomplish it whether I pray it or not. But in some ways, that's permissive in which God allows man to reject. Why should I pray, thy will be done? Here's the reason. Two reasons. Number one, so you can get on, in on what God wants to do. That's the first thing. The second thing is that God can use you to accomplish what He wants to do. And can I tell you today, when you're praying for someone that's lost, now, I want you to hear me. I'm going to lay something heavy on you. Can y'all handle this? Say amen. Listen to me. There are times, doesn't happen often, but there are times where God will give you an absolute clarity of heart. And God will tell you, I'm going to save that person. Now, I'm going to tell you, when God speaks that to you, it's not a matter of God will you. It's a matter of God thank you. But there are times when you may know somebody needs to be saved, but God hadn't gave you a clear word. Then how do I pray? God, I want to thank you today that you can do whatever it takes to save this person. And you can pray, thy will be done. And what's His will? That none should perish, but all come to repentance. You with me? This is how this plays out. All right? Let's look at the third thing real quick. His proclaimed will. This is where it comes down to you and I as believers. Because there are times in which God will have a plan and a purpose for your life specifically and my life for specifically. And what does He do? He reveals that to us. It's a proclaimed will. It's a will in which He makes real to us. And it's going to be personal to you and you alone. It may be something God wants of you, but not of somebody else. How many of you agree God calls some to preach and some He doesn't? Personal. So therefore, it becomes a proclaimed will. Now listen to me. For this to be reality in our life, faith has to be the avenue which it travels. If God says something to you, you must by faith receive it. Because if you don't by faith receive it, you're never going to obey it. Are y'all with me? Let me give you an example of a group that prayed for something, asking God to do something, and then when He did it, they couldn't believe He did it. Acts chapter 12. Y'all remember Peter was in prison? Peter was in prison. They gathered up in Mary's house. Y'all remember? What were they praying? God, get him out of there. Set him free. Set him free. God, we're trusting you. Set him free. Set him free. Y'all remember? And then all of a sudden, there came a knock on the gate. And Rhonda, the servant, went out to the gate. Y'all remember? And she recognized it was Peter's voice. She didn't even open the gate. Scared her to death. She ran back in. Hey, you're not going to believe it. You're just not going to believe this. What did they say to her? Well, praise God you answered our prayer. No, they said, we don't believe you. Isn't that what they said? And they went out there and saw him. And what did it say? It says they marveled and were astonished. So they were praying, thy will be done. But not by faith, trusting that God would do it. Now listen to me. When you pray, even if you don't have a distinguishing word about the situation, you can pray by faith knowing God is able to do it. If you have a distinguished word, you ought to pray by faith thanking Him that He's going to do it. But if you don't have a distinguished word, you can pray by faith saying, thank you, God, that I want to pray right now. My desire is that you would set Peter free. And Father, I want to thank you today. There's nothing impossible with you. You can cause them chains to fall off of him at any moment. You can open that prison door. You can let him out. I mean, he could show up at our house any moment. God, you're able. And then when it happens, you're not amazed. You can just praise him. Proclaimed will. Proclaimed will. All right. How can I know that when He speaks to me about His will, that I can be obedient to it? A lot of people ask me this question all the time. How do I know the will of God? Okay? I want to answer that question first, and then I'm going to show you how you know that when you know the will of God, you can walk in the will of God. How can I know the will of God? There's a couple verses that can be discerned to know the will of God. I want you to look at this. Romans 12:1-2. I'll just quote it. What's that? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies, what? Holy and acceptable unto Him, which is your reasonable service. Y'all with me? Alright. What's the context of that passage? How to walk in the will of God. You say, how do you know that? Next verse. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? That you may what? Prove. What is the what? Good and acceptable and perfect what? So how do I prove what is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God? You've got to be willing to surrender all that you are. Present your body's living sacrifice. And here's what that verse is saying. Here's what these two verses are saying. Now, I want you to grab a hold of this. This will change your life. When you and I are surrendered to Him in everything that we know about our lives, the will of God finds you. You don't find it. In other words, if I'm surrendered to Him, how many of you agree that the Bible says He'll give us the desires of our heart? All right? But we never read the rest of that verse. How's that verse start? Delight yourself in, and then. So who becomes the focus? Surrender. So when your delight is Him, and you are surrendered to Him, here's the way it works. Then all of a sudden, every step you take is the will of God. How do I know that? Because if you're surrendered to Him, how many agree the Bible says you have the mind of Christ? So guess what? If I'm surrendered to Him, His desires become what? And His delights become what? And His thoughts become what? Therefore, you're not going to desire anything that's not His will. And so every step you take, what are you doing? You're proving. This is the good and perfect will of God. Are y'all getting this? Say amen. That's how you know the will of God. Listen to me. You're not going to know the will of God any other way. You can pray heaven down, but if you're not surrendered, you're not going to know the perfect will of God. It's the only way. Only way. Now, so if I know the will of God and I walk in it, how can I know I can stay obedient to it? Well, watch what it says in Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, His servants are you whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked. How many agree? Something's changed. But God be thanked that you were servants of sin. How many of you agree when you were lost, you only had one allegiance? Who was it to? Sin. Your flesh. Your old nature. Okay? Now watch. But you have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, being then made free from what? Became servants of what? What did I say the will of God was? His righteous demands. So what happened when God saved you? He broke one chain and broke one allegiance and gave you a new allegiance. So now all of a sudden, instead of being a slave to sin, you became a servant to God. Instead of being controlled by sin, you're now controlled by God. Instead of desiring sin, now you desire God. Instead of wanting sin, now you want God. Not to say we're going to be sinless perfect. But here's what I'm trying to tell you. When God saved you, He gave you the privilege of being set free from sin to be free to obey God. Because you can't obey God if you're chained to another master. And that's how you can be obedient to God. You see, you got to recognize that. If you don't recognize that, you're digging yourself into a ditch. Because if God speaks to my heart, here's what most people do. God will speak to their heart about an issue. And here's what they'll do. Man, I know that's what God wants me to do. I hope I can do it. I hope I can do it. What have you just done? Huh? That's right. Who'd you make the initiator of the will of God being accomplished? But what did I tell you? Thy will be done is passive. So who accomplishes it? So when God gives you revelation about His will, it's not a hope I can. It's this. Here's how you pray Thy will be done. God, Father, I want to thank You today that You gave me clear clarity of this in my life, whatever it is. And Father, I want to thank You today that when You saved me, You released the chains of my bondage to sin. And You set me free to be able to obey You. And so, Father, right now, I want to thank You today that whatever You call me to do, whatever You ask me to do, whatever You lead me to do, whatever You tell me to do, I want to thank You today that it's not up to me. It's up to You. And so, Father, right now, I yield my hands. I yield my feet. I yield my mind, I yield my lips to what You said You want to accomplish. And right now, Father, take this vessel and Thy will be done through this vessel. Isn't that a lot better way to pray? Doesn't that take a load off? Amen. So God's good. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Let's